morning, and I don't know how much you folks know about dyslexia. I'm guessing you probably think you know more than you actually do. Right,
yes,
don't you think?
I think you're probably right there.
Yep, and Elizabeth Hoxbergen is with us here this morning, and I'm glad because I've already learned a lot. We just turned the mics on, but you were saying that how many people proportionally have dyslexia?
It's been proven in recent years by replicated neuroscience that it's 1 in 5 individuals who have the hemispheric design that's unique to dyslexics.
It's, wow.
Yep. It's 20%. Most people walking around, including lawmakers, doctors, engineers, teachers, consultants, who have dyslexia have no idea that they have dyslexia.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Wow. How does dyslexia affect someone?
The dyslexic has a little more right hemispheric mass than a non-dyslexic. So in the positive sense, dyslexia impacts a person by giving unusual talent or strengths in areas such as visual spatial skills, intuition. Common areas of strength would be engineering, architectural skills, mathematical concepts, people skills, art skills, certain types of music skills. On the negative side, or balancing the scale, so to speak, there's a lack of neurologic connectivity in the left posterior angular gyrus of the brain, which impacts the person's ability to quickly learn to read or assimilate what's called neural models, which allows the person to quickly read words and text. That also will impact the person's ability to spell, because some dyslexics have great visual memory, so they become very proficient readers, but many times they'll continue to be faulty spellers throughout their life. It also will impact many of their ability to memorize arbitrary information or to have a good sense of directions. Now, not all of these things impact everyone who's dyslexic, because just like the fingerprint on your little thumb is different and unique from everyone else, the brain structure, no one has the same exact neurologic profile, but there are specific characteristics unique to the dyslexic's brain.
So when you find out that somebody has dyslexia, what do you do to help them?
Keep in mind that there are two continuums to process when making that decision. The first is the person's general intellectual function. They may be low average IQ, average, above average, or even superior, just as Michelangelo and Albert Einstein, who both had dyslexia, were.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Many of your most famous people were. And then the second continuum is the severity. The severity of the dyslexia will be contingent upon the wiring in the brain. The worse the neural connectivity and access to the areas of the brain that need to handle decoding, encoding, and certain types of language processing, which will also impact math many times, the worse the connectivity neurologically, the more severe the dyslexia will be. So if I have a student who has an average IQ ability, but they're severely dyslexic, they will probably be identified for special education services as early as first grade. So what do you do to help them? You need to bring in what all of the organizations around the United States that deal intensively with dyslexia, clinics, research agencies, schools that specialize in this, all of them use an evidence-based program that has alignment with the Orton-Gillingham methodology, meaning it's multi-sensory, systematic, cumulative, direct explicit instruction, and synthetic analytic phonics. But it's not just phonics. It's intense training of the brain where you force the right hemisphere of the brain to interact with the left hemisphere of the brain with very intensive activities.
So what's the tip-off to mom and dad that maybe they're youngster has dyslexia?
That's an excellent question. And depending upon the severity, it may not be noticeable until later. But here's some things to watch for. If the child's quite dyslexic, even early on, they may have trouble memorizing their address, memorizing the sequence of the alphabet, learning to tie their shoes, learning to tell time with a clock that has hands, not digital, of course, memorizing their math facts. They may or may not have trouble with reading at first, because dyslexics are so visual, they often memorize word patterns. Until they hit the typical dyslexic, until they hit third, fourth, even fifth grade, and then many of them will begin to hit the wall because their brain cannot hold on to the memorized, as many memorized words, as complex as the words become.
Sounds to me like there's an upside to this. I mean, that
absolutely
that you can, and I never would have thought of that. The dyslexia, oh, that's a big problem.
Absolutely. Most people actually think of dyslexia as dyskinesia. They just don't know the difference between the two. Dyskinesia is difficulty with reversals of letters and numbers, and not all dyslexics dyslexics have dyskinesia. Only some. You can be severely dyslexic and not have dyskinesia. Hmm. Dyskinesia, which is another tip-off to the possibility the child may have dyslexia, if the child, after 2 formal years of handwriting instruction, at the beginning of second grade is still reversing letters and possibly numbers, then you may be dealing with a language processing difficulty, i.e. dyslexia.
Now, when you say reversing numbers, do you mean like if a person writes down a 4 and the vertical line is on the left side instead of the right side?
Right.
Or,
okay. Real common ones. Most people associate dyslexia with reversing B's and D's. And that is symptomatic of dyskinesia, which is within the subset of dyslexia, but not all dyslexics have that. That is a very small component of dyslexia. Dyslexia is a language processing-based difficulty. But I have dyslexia, Van, and I wouldn't trade it for the world because it's what's given me my strengths. So as Dr. Sally Shaywood says, you know, dyslexia is an isolated difficulty with like decoding, encoding, arbitrary memorization in a sea of strengths, you know, advanced problem-solving skills. Did you know that NASA prefers to hire engineers and scientists with this type of brain structure?
Is that right? Wow.
Absolutely.
Huh. You know, if I was running NASA, I'd be afraid we'd land on Saturn or the sun.
So as a typical parent, if you think your child has dyslexia, where do you take them? What do you do?
So this is where Decoding Dyslexia Iowa comes in. And this is a grassroots parents movement. And actually, there are Decoding Dyslexia groups throughout the nation. Basically, all the states have their own group. And we have a website. It's decodingdyslexiaiowa.org, decodingdyslexiaiowa.org. And there is a plethora of well-organized substantive information. There's also a Facebook page if you just type in Decoding Dyslexia Iowa. And on our Facebook page, we post relevant information all the time, including how to get in touch with testing specialists and instructional specialist as well. Because if this is the case with your child, it's best to go through the testing process and have a formal evaluation done to find out, is this indeed the situation or not. But it's very important to go through a specialist who knows dyslexia inside and out. Because, for example, if a 6th grader has a pretty high IQ and they've had some intervention, unless the person really knows what they're doing, they won't detect it properly, and then that student down the road may have difficulty, such as in college, they may have trouble with time test, for instance.
You have seminars coming up.
We have a number of wonderful things going on here. For instance, coming up this October 4th, we have Dyslexia for a Day, which is sponsored by the Dyslexia Training Institute. If you want information, I think we have a few spots left still, and that's an all-day training. There is a fee. It's an excellent intensive simulation process to learn more about dyslexia, as well as information on special education and 504 law and how parents can go about supporting their child and facilitating their success. That information is on the DecodingDyslexiaIowa.org website. And then Sunday, October 12th, we have a walk for dyslexia at the Raccoon River in West Des Moines. And then Sunday and Monday, October 19th and 20th, the Learning Disabilities Association of Iowa is sponsoring Rediscovering Dyslexia, the Hidden Disability. It will be rich, replete with information. And then last but not least, in Pella, we are sponsoring on October 21st from 6:30 to 8:30 a free seminar on the science and the characteristics of dyslexia and what to do if your child has that, possibly.
Why don't you give that website again?
Yes, that's decodingdyslexiaiowa.org.
And the word Iowa is spelled out?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay.
It is.
.org.
.org.
Okay.
Many children who are identified as struggling in school, I'm not saying all, but this is my experience in 14 years of consultative work as an educational consultant with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of parents. Many children who are struggling will have some degree of a language processing difficulty. Not all, but many. And if the parents can understand the science, they will know better how to advocate for their child.
Thank you for being here with us today. We have a parting gift for you.
Oh, my.
We hate to see you leave so much. We have a parting gift for you.
We have for you, courtesy of Hy-Vee, we have Van and Bonnie Marconi and Cheese.
Wonderful.
She will think we're dyslexic when she hears that. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
846 at WHO.
WHO Radio Traffic, powered by your local Toro snowblower dealer. Toro has you covered with